million like me and have right and reason to, but I promise you this, you have no need to doubt the Lord. He's never, and I can say this with authority, he has never, not one time, give you not even a smidgen or an inkling of a reason to doubt him. God has been faithful to me, and God has been faithful to you. He has carried through every promise he ever made, and he said he holds his word above his own name. And when the world's on fire, his word will stand. His promises are true, and he has been faithful. And I thank the Lord for his goodness. Where would you be tonight had it not been for the Lord? My goodness. My goodness. All right, let's take our Bibles in the few minutes we have. Go to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. Joshua, chapter number 1. And Lord willing, we're going to try to finish up the first part of this series that we've been preaching on, about, seemed like for an eternity or two. And I thought we would end this series, and the more I study it and the more I look at it, leaving the wilderness was really just the beginning. Making a decision and getting the vision and getting a word from God was the beginning. Yes, they had been there 40 years. Yes, they had been 40 years saved and delivered out of Egypt, been wandering 40 years, and would seem like their midpoint place in this journey. But God came to the man of God, to Joshua, gave him a fresh word, and they rose up and not only heard the voice of the Lord, but heeded the voice of the Lord. And they came to the people. Joshua came and addressed the people and said that he had heard from God and that there was a new day dawning. There was something going to be different. Something was going to be changing. Their location would be changing. Their lifestyle would be changing. Everything that they known and had known would be changing. And it wouldn't be as easy as it had been. But there would be battles. There would be giants. There would be enemies that they had not had to face or fight. But here Joshua makes a stand, and he makes a decision based upon what God had clearly spoken. And he said, hey, listen, Canaan land is just inside, and we are headed that way. And so they rose up, and they set out to begin that journey. That was the beginning of this new leg in their journey to Canaan, that place that had been promised to Moses, and then that place that God reiterated and promised and pledged to Joshua that he would see to it, that he would make it, not just to Canaan. Moses made it to Canaan, but he promised Joshua that he would make it into Canaan. And so between that promise and the provision of God and the place that they would finally arrive, which is the promised land, Canaan, there's still a whole lot that takes place. There's a lot of giants, and there's a lot of battles and a lot of enemies that has, in other words, just making a decision that Canaan land's just in sight, that's wonderful. And that's great, but I couldn't in my heart justify ending this series and saying, we've made a decision to go to Canaan land. That's great. I mean, I hope every one of you that God has spoken to your heart and spoken to our heart as a church, and that we've all made the decision. By the grace of God, I'm no longer satisfied with where I am, with who I am, with what I am, and with where I am. I want to go further. I want to go deeper. I want to rise to new levels, and I want to receive and not just exist, but I want to flourish with the favor of God on my life. And I hope you've made that decision. You've had plenty of time. We've been preaching this for months. And so if you hadn't made that decision yet that you want to get up and go, since it's just in sight, I don't know what you're waiting on. But the next part and the next portion of this series, we're going to get into the nuts and bolts and the enemy that we're facing, because it's one thing to make a decision, but it's another to follow through. It's one thing to say, I'm going. It's yet another to go. And if you've been a Christian any length of time at all, you know that there's a lot of good intentions. And I ain't talking about somebody else. I'm talking about you know in your own life. I know in my own life I've set out to do a lot of things, and I've said I was going to do a lot of things, and I had the best of intentions of deepening my prayer life and getting deeper in the Word of God and becoming more of a servant of God, only to fall short and only to see that decision and that pledge, and as we preached Sunday night about over in the other building, that allegiance I made to the Lord, that pledge I made to God, only lasts for a short while, and then I let it fall somewhere between the cracks, and before I know it, I'm right back to living where I was living, there wandering in circles in the wilderness. That is not God's intention. And so we're going to just walk through the Word of God and walk with the children of Israel and see what they faced and see how God delivered them time and time again. And I mean, hand led them, went before them, and absolutely conquered everything in front of them to see to it that His promise that He made, that they would not only get there, but they would get in there, and they would truly, for the first time in their life, experience a sight of God and experience something that they had only heard about, and to see and experience and live something they'd only heard preachers preach about. Don't you want that? I mean, we've heard preachers preach about the glory of God, and we've heard people get up and really just thunder about the mighty power of God and how God has come through and moved in such an awesome fashion. And we've heard that, and we've read books about it, and we've read about the great revivals of yesteryear. But listen, that's one thing, and I thank God for what He's done, but wouldn't it be glorious? Ain't you interested? Don't you want you and your family not only get to read about it and hear about it and what God's done for others, but it's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. I want to experience, and I want my wife and my marriage to experience the promised land. I want us to get into Canaan land as a couple. I want our children to get to go with us and to walk in and see grapes as big as basketballs, spiritually speaking, and get to live in a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and to see not only when we get there, but I mean even on the journey. I want my children to see giants fall. I want my children to see God deliver and reach down and deliver, I mean miraculously, so that their faith can be increased and they can not only hear what has happened, but they can experience what is happening by the hand of God. Don't you want that? Boy, I do, but it ain't enough just to say we're going. We got to go. We got to move. And so we're going to finish this last portion up in the... We're going to be speed reading and preaching tonight. Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast.
There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. If nothing else was said or promised by God, just that last tag of that last verse would be enough for us to be ready to make a decision and to get up and go and follow Him. He said, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. No matter where you go, if you'll go with me, God said, I'll be with you. If you'll go the direction I'm leading you and I've commanded you, I will give you my word. I'll be with you. And if God's with you, you in the majority, no matter how many is on the other side. If God's with you, more importantly, let me say it this way. If you're with God, you are a winner. If you're with God, you're indestructible. If you're with God, you're invincible. If you're with God, you will win, period. And God made that promise. And so first we looked at God's command. And we talked about the call to claim the land. And we must claim the land. We just read how that the Hittites, or one of them ites, was living and dwelling in the land that God had promised them. I don't want anybody living in my part of the promised land. Listen, I don't want somebody else squatting. Y'all know that word? These squatters that just pop up and somebody worked their whole lives and paid some contractor to erect and build a house and construct a house and they took all their hard-earned money and all their life savings and built them a house and for whatever reason they somewhere else in the country, and here comes these people that ain't worked a day in their life and they're good for nothing. And had this conversation, matter of fact, last night, I believe, as we met with some of our family, and the conversation come up one way or the other about these people who are taking money from the government, these people who are scamming the disability office. And could I say to anybody in here, if you're on disability, you ought to deserve to be on disability. You ought to have a disability to be on disability. It's a crying shame that men and women who are able and capable of working will scam. And it ain't the government that they're scamming. You know who they're scamming? You know who they're robbing from? You and me, men and women who will get up and work an honest day's work and pay our taxes and render to Caesar what's Caesar. And they lay back and the part that makes my blood boil is that they driving around brand new trucks and they got no problems with their air conditioners at their house. They got plenty of money. They eating T-bone steaks. And listen, then those of us who work for a living and those of us who do it right, we doing the best we can to get by, and they listen. God said, if a man won't work, he don't deserve to eat. If a man won't work, he's worse than an infidel. My point is, I don't want somebody, spiritually speaking, to be squatting in my spot in Canaan land. God made that place for me. God promised that place for me and my family. God's got a place right over there. It's just inside for my children to live and thrive and abide. I mean, in the land of promise, in the land of plenty, in the land that God will have His favor and His grace in ways we've never experienced. I mean, power like we've never known.
I
love you, but I don't want to give you my spot in Canaan. Because the reality is, Brother Jeff, he's got you a spot. Miss Jamie, he's got you a spot. And I don't want you getting mine or having yours and mine because I was too selfish or too weak to make the journey and fight the battles and to put one foot in front of the other and do what it takes to get there. And it ain't just me, and it is a selfish thing if we just settle to live and wander in the wilderness. Brother Cam, you got a child on the way. You got a child on the way. It's a selfish thing if you live and settle just to be where you are spiritually and to have your home where it is spiritually. No, God wants you to rise above that and make a decision. Say, by the grace of God, I'm not raising my children where we are now. There's a better land right inside. There's a new day dawning, and I've lived this way. It's time to put away childish things. Now that you're a man, put away childish things. Rise up and be willing to fight and go so that your child can experience a side of God that we ain't seen in decades and decades, maybe ever. Don't you want that?
Amen.
Don't you want that?
Yes, sir.
We got to want it, and we got to claim the land. It's your land. Hey, listen, it's your land. And so God's command, they was a call to claim the land. Then there was a call to have confidence in the Lord. And you know, I ain't got time to preach that, but you know you can have confidence in the Lord. She just sang about it. There's no need to doubt him now. Hey, have confidence in the Lord. Then there's a call to carry out the law. Then we talked about how there was a call to courage and leadership. There's going to have to be some leadership. I'm going to do my dead level best to lead as the pastor of this church. I can't make you follow. Listen, I can't make you come, but by the grace of God, Brother Jackie, as assistant pastor, I know in my heart you're going to do everything you can to lead and to see to it that you and your family, Anita and Holly and your Jackson, that brand new little saved boy, is going to make it to Canaan land. But not just your family, but he's going to try to lead. And we're going to try to lead. And as we follow Christ, you should be willing and gladly willing to follow us as we follow him into the promised land. Got to have confidence and courage in our leadership. Then, not only God's command, but then we talked about Joshua's challenge. And there is a challenge. It was a challenge to readiness. Remember, we talked about how we're going to have to be ready. There's a new day dawning. You have to learn how to fix your own meals. Remember that? God said, get your victuals ready. Learn how to prepare your food, because no longer you're going to be eating angels' food. Now you're going to be having to fix your own. And in this new quest that we're on, you're going to have to learn how to get in that Bible and learn how to get you some grub for yourself. Can't just live from Sunday to Sunday and get what the preacher feeds you. No, you can't just live from Sunday morning to Sunday morning and get what the Sunday school teacher teaches. You've got to learn to prepare you a meal. Call to readiness. Then there's a challenge to responsibility. This is going to require responsibility. I can say more about that, but my time's gone. Then finally, so we can finish this portion. Finally, in this message, not only God's command and Joshua's challenge, but then Israel's commitment. God made a command. The man of God had a challenge. But then the people of God, they had to be committed. Because if they wasn't going to make it. If we're going to get from here to there, and it's just in sight, if we're going to get from here to there, Brother Jackie's commitment to getting there ain't going to get you there. My commitment to getting there ain't going to get you there. I can prove that scripturally. There was many under Joshua. There was many under the leadership of Joshua that did not make it to Canaan. And so it's going to take some responsibility. It's going to take some commitment. It's going to take some devotion and some determination on your part as the people of God if you're going to make it. And you ought to be willing, and I ought to be willing to do that so that our family gets there.
I don't want my children left behind. I don't want my children left behind. I don't want them left behind in the rapture. I don't want them left behind and go to hell, but I don't want them being left behind when I'm in the promised land living in the favor of God and the blessing. I mean the abundant life, the victorious Christian life, and my children living the rest of their days wandering in the wilderness I spent most of my life in, and neither should you. No. No, it's going to take some commitment. We need to make up our mind. By the grace of God, I'm committed to this thing. Hey, you say you're a Christian, I say I'm a Christian, then why not be committed to it? If it's worth naming it, if it's worth claiming it and saying you are, then why not go ahead and go all in and go all out for God and say, if I'm going to be a sinner, then I'm going to be the best sinner I can be. But if I'm going to be a saved individual and a Christian by the grace of God, we ought to throw all the way in. Now, I mean, not just in ankle deep water, but God wants us to get into waters to swim in. All the way in. All the way in. Y'all come on in. Come on in. I'll preach louder than y'all walk. Come on. Come on. Quickly and grab a seat. We're talking about Israel's commitment. Verses 16 through 18. Let's read it. Verses 16 through 18. In Joshua chapter number 1. Y'all grab a seat quickly as you can. Joshua chapter number 1, verse 16. For those of you who's coming in, we're talking about Israel's commitment to make it into Canaan land. Israel's commitment, verse 16, the Bible said, and they answered Joshua. This is after God gave Joshua the word that things are about to change if you want it. This is after Joshua received the challenge and responded to the challenge. And it's down to where Israel, the people of God, are going to take the challenge that Joshua had given them. Israel, the people of God, said, we heard the challenge. Joshua heard the command from God, and Joshua received the challenge. And now it's time for you, the people of God, to make a commitment. That's where we're at. Verse 16, listen to it. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we not might do, not we may do, not it's a possibility. It ain't a multiple choice. All that Joshua commanded us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in the things, in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doeth rebel. Listen to this. This is how serious they was. You'll know how committed they was to the challenge that Joshua had given them. You'll know how committed they was to the command God had given the man of God and the challenge Joshua shared with the people of God. Listen to the people of God's commitment. They said, we'll go wherever you say go. As long as you stay with God, we'll follow you. As long as you're following God, we'll follow you. And listen, wherever you say go, we'll go. Whatever you say do, we'll do. I mean, as long as it's from God, hey, listen, we're going to trust you, preacher. We'll go. We'll walk behind you. And this is how serious, this is how committed we are. Listen to this last verse. It's serious. This ain't no play. This ain't no poem Joshua give them. He give them a serious command and a serious challenge. I want you to listen to how serious they took it. Verse 18. Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him. Are you listening? Are you reading? Look at that King James Bible. He shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Did you hear that? They said, we committed to this thing. Brother Joshua, if you going, preacher, if you going, we going with you.
Preacher, if you going, not only are we going with you, but we so committed to this thing. If you going, we going, and if anybody stands and rebels against you, we're standing with you. If anybody stands and goes against you, and there's bickering and backbiting, and we hear about it, if they don't obey your commands, if they don't follow after, if they don't trust you as you following God, we will not side with them. Matter of fact, we ain't even going to give them our ear. We ain't going to listen to no nonsense. We ain't going to listen to the gossip. Hey, listen, whether we like it or not, whether it's the direction we thought we ought to go or not, hey, listen, whether it's the battle strategy that we thought should be or not, if Joshua, the man of God, said it, we committed to you, Joshua, because you heard from God. You received the word from God, and we are committed to follow you wherever you go, however you go, and do whatever you say do, and we'll trust you, and if you get out of line, we'll trust God to deal with you. And that's the Bible way. And if somebody does rise up, not only are we not going to side with them, but we're going to deal with them. You don't hear much of this no more, but I'm going to tell you something. Everybody listening, I know what time it is. I'm preaching fast as I possibly can, but it's serious business. It's high time you as a Christian, and this is absolutely necessary if you're going to make it to Canaan. There's too big of giants in the land for us to be divided. Here a while back, I don't know if you remember it or not, but I spent many, many weeks, maybe a month or so, preaching on unity. The unity of the believer. The unity of the body. How important it is for us to be unified. Do you know, listen, we may have made it in the wilderness being divided and bickering and griping over the smallest of things. We made it. We've stuck together okay, even with the bickering and even with the gossiping, even with the backbiting. Hey, listen, but this next stretch, this next part of the journey, there's no room. There's no room. There's no place. It's too serious. People will, listen, there'll be casualties. People will lose their head. People will get out of the... Hey, please hear me. You say, what's the big deal? What if I do? What if I do disagree with you? What if I do, and what if I do talk to my family? What if I do go home and say, I didn't like how the preacher done that? Or I didn't like how my Sunday school teacher, I didn't like how the deacons voted on that. Or I didn't like how the preacher said we're going to do this, or we're going to spend that, or we're going, I didn't like that. And you start bickering. And can I tell you, there's already been casualties even in the wilderness here. We've already lost people here. We already have a testimony in the community here. Because people hear the backbiting and they hear the gossip and they so turned off by that. That's no small thing. God has littered His Word all through His Word and amplified with a megaphone how dangerous and how cancerous and corrosive it is to have backbiting and murmuring among the people of God. We can't afford to be divided. A house that's divided will fall. And when there's giants in the lands, and all them Ites and Amorites and Jebus, all them Ites are out there waiting, and they're waiting on us to make the turn. And they've been squatting and living in our land so long. They've been living for free in our houses so long. They've been eating our fruit so long. They've been living off of our land and receiving our goods for so long. And they ain't about to give it up for free. They ain't about to give it up without a fight. And they saying, if you're going to come take this, they already took ownership of it. I saw on the news the other day where one of them squatters, they was in face to face, nose to nose, ready to draw blood. And I mean, they were fighting, saying, "This you may say it's yours, the deed may say it's yours, but we've been here for 2 years. It's ours now. Ain't paid a red cent. Ain't got nothing. Ain't got the title deed. Can I tell you, we have the title deed. God's promised us that's our land. And listen, I ain't about to take time and fight and fuss with you. We ain't got time to argue with one another. Our land's over there. Our house is over there. Our food that God provided is over there. And there's no time. There's no time to be fighting with each other. We got to take our time, come together, unify, and fight the giants in the land to conquer our Canaan. And they said, if anybody rebel against you, preacher, we ain't siding with them. Matter of fact, if they rebel against what God said to you, preacher, and listen to me, I understand dispensational truth. And for those of you that ain't been saved long or may not know what that is, a dispensation is just a big word that simply means how God deals with a specific people at a specific time. And dispensationally, they said, we will kill anybody that raises up against you. Anybody that rebels against you, preacher, we're going to put them to death. Some of you, everybody look up here at me, eyeball to eyeball. Some of you better thank God in heaven we ain't under that dispensation because you'd have died a long time ago. God would have killed you and hung you up to dry a long time ago. So you better thank God for grace. Matter of fact, we all better thank God for grace. Because it wasn't just the people who God would kill for rising up against the man of God. God would kill the man of God if he prophesied and it wasn't right and it wasn't true. He was good as dead. If a preacher walked into the Holy of Holies, if the priest went into the Holy of Holies and he wasn't clean and he wasn't right, that's why they'd tie a long rope to their leg that had bells on it. And if the people outside heard them bells quit jingling, they'd know that that preacher went in there unclean. And God had struck him dead and they'd have to drag him out. Well, I thank God I don't live under that dispensation. There have been many days, Brother Ned, the bells have quit ringing. Spiritually speaking of my life, and I should have been drug out. The bottom line is ain't none of us perfect. We've all failed the Lord. And God's let us get by with so much while we've been in the wilderness. But this next leg of the journey, we cannot afford to be uncommitted and to be divided and assume for a moment that we are each other's enemy. Because we are not. As the Bible said, we be brethren. Amen. If you saved, you ain't my enemy. If you're a member of Morning Star Baptist Church, you my brother, you my sister, and I'm for you. And ain't no time for all this foolishness. Just go ahead and get under the... Listen, I didn't set this thing of authority up. God did. I didn't call me here to be the pastor. God did. And if that ruffles your feather, listen, I can't help it. I can't help it. Just get over it. I'm the pastor here. God called it. God set it up. I didn't do it. So don't be mad at me about it. That'd be like saying, well, my daddy has authority over me and I don't like it. Well, get over it. Get over it. He's your daddy. She's your mama. She has the right to tell you what to do. And as a pastor of the church, it's my God-given calling and responsibility. And it is a high and hard responsibility to know and navigate how we get there and not be conquered and overrun by the enemy. And I will stand before God one day and give an account for every word I've spoken, for every turn I've taken, for every battle plan I've laid out, Brother Jackie. And I don't take it lightly. And listen to me. So the best I can inquire of you and the best I could beg of you is pray for me and ask God. And if I go a direction you think's wrong, then ask God to turn me around. But listen, it ain't going to do no good to go tell everybody else, oh, I think the preacher missed it there. No, that's division. That's sowing discord, and that's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt us. Not to mention when you do it in front of your children. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath. You know one of the best ways to provoke your children to reject and rebel authority? You know the best way to do that? Run the preacher down in front of them. Tell them how they messed up and how they just ain't
your cup of tea and how they missed it here and missed it. And I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about this is how God set up authority in the local church. You know why? Listen, I love Brother Jackie, and I appreciate Brother Jackie, and he knows it better than anybody. But Brother Jackie ain't the pastor of this church. He's the assistant pastor. You know why? Even the Indians figured it out. You can't have two chiefs, because then you have chaos. I thank God for Brother Jackie. He's the best assistant pastor I could ever dream for. But he ain't the pastor. God give you one, and I'm him. So let's quit quibbling over who is the pastor. And I wish you wasn't him, and I wish we had called somebody. Listen, that's long gone. That's water under the bridge. Get over it. I am, and we're moving forward. So quit talking about it. Quit griping about it. And just get on board and go with us. Quit cussing the things you can't change and get involved, because we have a common enemy, and I'm not your enemy. I love you. I ain't said nothing tonight to be self-promoting. I've just stayed. Listen, very rarely do I talk about the office and the authority of the pastor, because I hate to do that, because people take it as though I'm pounding in my fist and I'm using a rod of iron. No. It's a very humbling thing. It's a thing I didn't ask for, but it's how God. It's just like being a daddy. Listen, I love my girls. I don't rule over them with a rod of iron and say, "Bless God, I'm your daddy, and you'll do as I say just cause I say." No. I tell them, you can't go here, you can't do that, you can't wear that, you can't listen to that, you ain't going to do that. Why? Because I hate them? Because I just want to show them my power and flex to them? No. I know if they go outside the lines, there's trouble. Somebody texts me, we always done it at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night, so you're going to get over it tonight. God bless you. Listen to me. Y'all ain't even got school. I do that to get you to school, them kids to school. So I'll make sure to be done before you have to be at work in the morning. How about that? I got some catching up to do. Brian, one more thing. No, I'm just kidding. Listen. The only reason I tell my girls, you can't do that. And they say, "But Daddy, everybody else is doing it. But everybody else wears that. But what's so wrong with listening to that? What's so wrong with going there? It didn't hurt them." And I say, "They ain't your daddy. And they don't love you the way I love you." And I ain't saying I'm better than nobody, but I'm saying this. God has let me see the dark side of sin. I've seen how ugly this world and how vicious this world is. And when it gets its hooks into somebody, it will scar them for life. And God forbid, I'll let my child be mad at me for a month. I'll let them be mad at me for a year. But I'm going to tell them, by the grace of God, the truth. Don't go that way. Don't open that door. Danger ahead. And I will restrain them, if at all possible, so that they never enter into one of the worlds that I so regret I ever did. And my point in saying that about my daughters is God set up the home with authority. He put the man in. By the way, ladies, you ain't it. You're the helpmeet. You ain't lesser than. No man should ever step on you and lord over you. She's my equal. She's my helpmeet. But when it comes down to it, and she knows, and I never have to fight with her over it. She knows when the final decision's made, it's mine to make, because I got to stand before God with it, just like I do as a pastor. I'll take your comments. I'll take your advice. And many times I will readjust and rechange and re-strategize by advice I've gotten from godly men and women. I ain't always right. I'm not saying it. But the bottom line is, you ought to thank God one day you don't have to stand before God and give an account for how this church was led. Because until you ever stand in them shoes, you have no idea the weight that carries. And these people said, "Joshua, we understand that. Because we lived under Moses. And some of you who's done the most bumping of the gums would have never in a million years said or uttered a word about Preacher Kerrigan. As you shouldn't. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. But he was God's man. He was a man, I mean a giant in the faith. And you ought not open your mouth about him, especially around me. Because I ain't going to listen to it. He was my hero. He was my pastor. He was my preacher. And most of what I got that's good in me come from the Word of God. He fed it into me. And he would make decisions driving me crazy, Brother Jack. He'd do things and I'd say, why ain't he dealing with that? There'd be things going on in the church. I'd say, why won't he deal with that? My goodness, is he compromising? Is he getting lazy in his old age? I'd think stupid thoughts like that. And I'm telling y'all because I'm trying to help you. But I'd think that and I'd sit on my pew right over in that building. I'd say, what's wrong with him? Only to live long enough to let God put me in his shoes. And now I know why he was so patient and so wise not to just hit every nail with its head poking up. And though you may see a nail with its head poking up and say, why ain't he fixing that? Why ain't he dealing with that? Why don't he do that faster? Why don't he do that slower? Just understand, you trust the Lord. And unless I'm getting outside this Bible, unless I'm preaching false doctrine or living in grotesque sin, just pray for me. And just like they said, as God was with Moses and we followed, God's with you and we're going to follow. Amen. It's as simple as that. Say, why don't you take so much time tonight? Because we got to have that commitment and that unity before we ever go forward. Because we will not make it as a church if there's a disconnect between the pew and the pulpit. We've got to be together. And they said, we're committed to this challenge from this word from God. And by the grace of God, we're going to be committed to a life of surrender. Verse 16 said this. I'm about done. Verse 16 said, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest, we will go. They were surrendered. I mean, committed to a life of surrender. No longer was it our way. No longer was we going to do it our way and do it how we wanted it. They said, we're going to be surrendered. Whatever you say, we'll do. Amen. These people made their stand with the Lord. They promised absolute obedience and surrender to the will of God. This is the only way spiritual victory will come to any life is surrender to the will of God. Committed to full surrender. There must be a total and absolute surrender of every area of our life to the will of God and His divine leadership if we're going to make it. Anything less hinders the work of God in our life. I'll ask you this, what are you holding back tonight? What have you not surrendered yet that's going to prevent you and your family? Because I guarantee you, I don't have to name it because the Holy Spirit will name it for you and bring it to the very top and forefront of your mind and put His finger right on that one thing that you know's in your life that you've lived with and learned to live with that you know, and you've tried to overcome it and lost time and time and time again. You've prayed more about it and you asked God to deliver you from it and help you with it over and over and over again, and you've lost the whole 40 years in the wilderness. And God's saying, you can stay here and live with that, or you can submit and surrender to me. And I'll deliver you from that, and I will give you so much more than you never dreamed you could have. Whatever it is that you're holding and have not surrendered to Him, I promise you it is not worth what God has for you. Whatever you'll drop for surrender to Him, He will replace it 100-fold. I've never given God anything that He didn't give me back so much better.
Amen, preacher.
Never.
Amen.
I'm talking about, listen. Too many times we're like these men in the Gospel of Luke. Listen, Luke 9:57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said to them, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Don't that sound just like what they said to Joshua? Whithersoever. They said, Lord Jesus, I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I'm simply saying, listen, we can talk about surrender, we can say we surrendered, but until we're ready. You say, well, that's awful cruel of God. That's awful mean of Jesus. I can't believe Jesus would tell that man he can't go bury his daddy. Jesus was driving home the point. The life of the believer has got to be a dedicated, consecrated, surrendered life. Yeah, you can go home and tell your family bye if you want to, but Jesus said you ain't fit to be my disciple. You can go bury your daddy. But Jesus said, if you want to get from to where we're going, let the dead bury the dead. And I don't think Jesus had a problem with them really going and burying his daddy. I think Jesus was wanting them to have a heart that would be willing to go with him, even if that's what it required. And that's what God's wanting from us, is us to be so totally surrendered to him that we're willing to say, whithersoever thou goest, I'll go. So they committed to a life of surrender. And they committed to a life of submission. Verse 17. The men also promised to follow the leadership of God's man. We dealt with that. And then finally, they committed to a life of separation. 90 seconds. Listen. Verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Finally, the people commit themselves to separating from those in the midst who refuse to comply with the commandment of the Lord. I'm done. I'm not even going to give you the rest of what I got written down, but just simply to say this in closing. Does everybody listen? If you're going to get there, it starts with a decision. God's already given His command. I've given you the challenge that God's put on my heart. Now it's up to you to be committed to it. And there's going to be some things that you're going to have to separate from if you're going to get there. There's some things in my life and in your life right now that cannot make the journey. There's some people you're going to have to cut out of your life. There's some Facebook friends to bring it up to our day. There's some Facebook friends you're going to have to block. There's some friends that text and they're negative and they bring you down spiritually. They have no place in this journey. What he was saying here was, there's going to have to be some areas in our life that we're willing to separate. There's some things, some places, some people that we're going to have to be willing to separate. Cut ties. Can I say this in closing? Listen, anybody that's not adding to your spiritual life is taking from it. There's no idle ground anymore. The wilderness was idle. When you put your car in idle, you ain't moving. The wilderness was them going in the same place. They never made any advancement. But God said to the man of God, we're going forward. So there is no more idle. There is no more neutral. So from this point on, if you're going to get there, anybody that's taking away from your life, you've got to cut, because they're going to be a drag on you and you won't make the journey. Anything that's a weight in your life, you've got to remove that weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. They got to go. So the bottom line is this, and this is the question of application as we close. Are you willing to go? First of all, do you want to go? If you do, are you willing to do what's necessary to go? It's a serious, serious time in the life of our church. It's a serious time in the life of your family. Don't be left behind. Don't let your carcass or the carcass of your family fall in the wilderness and that be your legacy. Rise up. I'm preaching to me before I'm preaching to anybody. Rise up, and for the glory of God and the good of your family, go with us, because it's just inside. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, help us. I pray, Lord, take your word. God, we've been long, Lord, I know tonight, but I pray you'd help those that are tired and wore out from working today, Lord. God, help every child, Lord, every person, God, every home, God, is represented. I ask you in Jesus' name, oh, Holy Ghost of God, take the seed of your word and plant it deep, deep down in the heart of every child of God tonight, Lord. I pray you'd help us not just to leave this message here, but God, that we would, God, put it in our mind, God, and meditate on it. Lord, let it play over and over. God, that your word would penetrate, God, and lodge in our heart, God, and we would muse and think on it, God, throughout the week, and truly make a decision. For the first time in my life, I'm sick and tired of living here, and I want more. I want more for me. I want more for my family. I want more for my church. And ultimately, I want more for you, Lord. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get it. And I pray you'd drive that home, make it real in Jesus' name.